You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That was a gorgeous Sparkle Horse cover by Luke Buddha, Pain Birds. And we have Luke on the line. Morena, how are you this morning? Thank God for Samara Alofa. Thank you for making some beautiful tracks that we could play. Now, third time's the charm. Luke Buddha, are you there?
Yes, fourth time, isn't it?
Fourth time the charm. Oh my God, we did it. Technology pulled through, and we've got plenty of time for a chat. Let's recap for the listeners who could only hear me breathing when you were talking about how the covers project began. What is it? What's happening? How are you? Oh my God.
I was just saying, like, my partner was just yelling out the window of the house to me that something's going on with the internet up at the house.
Oh,
and maybe
my gosh.
That's why. So, like, yeah, the whole neighborhood, you know, knows something's going on in my garage. What's going on here? Anyway. Yeah, okay, so covers. It's a pretty common story, right? It was lockdown. I just needed to do something. And I had like albums on the go, as in the Friendship by the Phoenix Foundation and my solo album. And, you know, putting in like crazy amounts of hours. And I don't know, there's like a different kind of feeling with that stuff. So I just needed to make some music for fun, really, which is a crazy concept, right?
Yeah.
For my own mental health. And lyrics, I find very difficult, like they don't come easy. So I was like, man, if I start trying to write some more songs, I'm just going to be sitting in the garage, head on the desk, going, what the fuck am I trying to say?
Yeah.
Who am I even? So just started making some covers, and have actually started loads of covers. So I think I'm going to just continue putting them out as I slowly finish them.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of just finally finished these two.
Well, what to you is a good cover? Because, I mean, people do covers all the time, whether it's just playing alone in your bedroom or, you know, at gigs. We see musicians cover famous songs. But what to you is a good cover? What do you sort of look for when you are creating one yourself?
Me personally, I like it when someone does something a little bit different with the song, pretty much. Like, when you go and see live, I think it works to do a, you know, faithful recital of the track, because sometimes you're just playing it because people are going to be really happy to hear the song, and they don't need to hear a reimagined version. I mean, they can as well, but, you know. But I think if I'm going to record it, it has to sound different than the original. Otherwise, I'm not necessarily sure what the point is.
Right.
Really.
Mm. And so let's talk about the covers that you've chosen. On covers three, there was the beautiful Pain Birds, the Sparkle Horse cover of Pain Birds. If listeners can cast their mind back before all the chaos ensued. And you've also got, you've done a Frank Black cover of Sir Rockabye. Why these songs?
Well, the honest answer is probably just like, because that's just what happened when I was messing around in the garage. But I think I've grouped them together because they are from a similar time of my life, which is like the end of high school, probably around 17, 18 years old, and just, well, maybe Sparkle Horse might be like the year after, but anyway, sort of like quite formative years, right? And
yes.
And that Frank Black album, Teenager of the Year, well, first of all, it was quite maligned at the time. It's not what people wanted from Frank Black post the Pixies, these kind of weird, overly produced songs. You know, they kind of wanted, they just wanted the more of the minimal, perfect, whatever it is that the Pixies do, that I shall not try and define.
Mm.
But for me, it was like a huge album. It was like Sam Scott from the Phoenix Foundation, his older brothers, his cool older brothers, Ned and Jake, were quite influential. So kind of got into the Pixies and Frank Black and all of that through them. And I had the tape of Frank Black, of that album, and I learnt that album so well that it turned out that there was actually a CD skip recorded onto the tape, and it took me about 5 years of getting used to hearing the song without the skip in it once I'd gotten the actual CD, you know, because
yeah.
Like, it was, yeah, so I don't know, I almost just felt like I wanted to honour how much I loved that album, which I think is, I think it's been re-evaluated of late. I don't really care, to be honest, what other people think of it. I think it's, the songwriting on it is off the chain. It's like 22 3-minute epics on that album. The production is quite uncool. But I don't really mind. I just like the songs.
Yeah.
So,
And yep. I think that's what's so fun when artists that...
Oh, shit. Now you've gone.
You're kidding.
Now I can't hear you.
Really?
I'm going to refresh. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. BFM listeners, I'm so sorry. I feel like this has been the most chaotic morning ever. Luke is just refreshing, so we'll do some general patter. I can see his little green square appearing. Luke, are you there? Can you hear
I'm
me?
I'm back.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, thank God.
I can hear you now.
So, I mean, we'll probably have to wrap
I'm gonna
this up.
I'm going to have a whiskey after this.
Oh, I'll come meet you. All right. I think what's cool about a cover, especially when it's an artist who, I mean, you're so well known to the BFM listeners. The Phoenix Foundation is so well known to the BFM listeners. And it's a really fun insight into what musicians that we love enjoy in their own time. Would you say that these artists that you've chosen to cover, have they influenced your songwriting?
Oh, huge. Yeah. Mm. I mean, Sparkle Horse... Again, this is like a story from a kind of the old times. So sorry, but the way it used to be for me anyway, like I got hundreds of CDs, you know, I was music obsessive, and CDs were quite expensive. It was like $35 for a CD, which is quite a lot of money. And I remember going into I can't remember which store it was, but just like putting that Sparkle Horse album on and listening to it and thinking about whether I was going to buy it, I don't know, like probably over the course of about 3 weeks, going in there every few days and going, there's something about this that I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm going to spend $35, and I finally did buy it. And actually my flatmate Amy at the time didn't like it at all and mocked me mercilessly for Sparkle Horse because it's, I don't know, I guess it's because it's mostly very gentle and soft, and actually that's what I love about it. Like it's the very gentle, almost kind of heartbreak of Mark Linkous, really. Mm. And I don't know if the listeners are familiar with Sparkle Horse, but unfortunately Mark Linkous is not with us anymore, but I highly recommend going back and checking it out. It's pretty, at its best, it's very beautiful stuff. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for bearing with us this morning and letting us know about these gorgeous covers. They're officially out on Friday, so this is a very lucky first spin of them. The next one we're going to play is Sir Rockabye, your Frank Black cover. Do you have anything in particular you want to say about this one?
It has my friend Samuel Flynn Scott from the Phoenix Foundation playing the clarinet.
Gorgeous. All right. Well, on that note, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much, Luke. I hope you have a relaxing, calming rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
Ka
kite. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Au revoir. Bye-bye. Ka kite.
Rockin' out. many stars, girl, can you both count and then classify? I'm standing here in this dick swirl, singing this lullaby. I'm Sir Rockabye, Rockin' I. I'm Sir Rockabye,
a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.